All right, welcome to Stutter Talk. I am Peter Reitzis, here with Eric Jackson.
Hey,
Eric.
What's up?
Hey.
Hey, sir.
And Eric's brother, his first appearance, Bradley Jackson. Hey, Bradley.
Hey, how's it going, everybody?
It's going good. I feel like he's a pro at this radio thing already.
Oh, absolutely. We are at an undisclosed location in Brooklyn. It's still undisclosed.
Peter spilled another beer at this undisclosed location.
Okay.
But the first thing he does when Bradley and I walk in the place is tell us to be careful with our drinks.
Yeah,
this is the second time he's
spilled
something.
Right.
StutterTalk at StutterTalk.com, 206-888-4619. Mr. Wright says, why don't you start us off here today?
All right. Well, when you guys were walking up the stairs, I heard you talking, and one of the things that immediately jumped out at me was I heard Bradley and Eric, heard you both stutter during the conversation, and you have very different stuttering patterns. Bradley, I heard you, God, this sounds like an expose, you know? Bradley, I heard you doing a lot of repetitions, repeating sounds, like broken words. I forget the words, but something like hey, 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 like breaking a word. Eric, you were doing a lot of blocking.
Right.
So I think that's a neat place to start it. What thoughts do you guys have about your different patterns of stuttering?
Well, from what you just said, I feel like probably I do that because I'll try and almost stop myself from doing it. So if I start to say a word like that, again, I don't remember what word I was saying downstairs either, but if I'll start to say a word like that, if I don't have, let's say, enough time to switch, let's say switch to a word that I know I can say,
right,
I'll just almost stop saying that word and say it again, or say it again until it comes out normal, so it's almost like it didn't happen.
So you're starting it over, kind of.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But from your perspective, you're suggesting that, like, in your own mind, it's like stopping it from happening, but I heard it as a stutter.
Yeah.
Of course, I know you stutter, but I think I would have heard it as a stutter anyway.
Sometimes, yeah, well, and I feel like with me, sometimes it happens totally in different situations. Like, the same thing will happen. Like, when I do, I feel like I do more of what you said. Like, I'll almost repeat words. But at the same time, sometimes I'll realize, I'll know almost minutes in advance when I'm gonna, let's say, block, is that the right word?
Yeah.
I'll block on a word. So I'll know when I'm gonna not be able to say a word, so I almost plan ahead and almost try and get myself out of it. Sometimes it doesn't work, and sometimes I'll do what I just did.
Okay.
Yeah, right. Hang on. I just want to jump in here and say Bradley and I have spoken about stuttering a bunch of times just over the past couple of years. I mean, we never talked about stuttering when I was growing up. And the age difference between us, just so everybody knows, is about 8 years, right, Brad?
Yeah.
And I think it's cool, Bradley has never spoken to anybody else about stuttering before until right now. So I think that that's an interesting point to throw out there too.
I think it is a great point, and I purposely wanted to jump in with the meat and potatoes because I just felt like that would be a good place to sort of jumping in the cold swimming pool type of thing. You know?
See, it's funny, like, I'm trying to think back to walking up the steps just there. And if I remember Bradley stuttering, and I don't. And I'm thinking that, you know, it's just something that, like, you just know somebody so well that you don't.
Well, but it stuck out for me because Eric has described you on the show as...
Oh, yeah, I didn't talk about you on the show, by the way.
Don't worry about it, sorry.
Not as a mild stutterer, but as somebody who's sort of a guarded speaker, like you don't let a lot of stuttering out. So I was surprised to hear, I mean, you walked up 4 flights of stairs, I heard you both stutter the whole time, both of you. So I was surprised at how different your stuttering patterns were.
I also stutter a lot more with him.
Why do you think that is?
I know why it is. Well, first of all, as Eric was saying, as Eric was saying before, again, like, I started talking about with him just because I know how much he's involved with it now, and it's awesome. Yeah. Like, I think it's like, I think it's great how much he's involved with it now, because I know, like, after talking to him, what, you know, what he's went through and everything like that. So it's awesome. So I feel like I want to talk with him the way, you know, I don't want to avoid it. So, like, when I'll have a conversation with him, if I feel like I'm going to block, well, when he's having a conversation with me, he's not trying to do that, so I don't do it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, no. I just have normal conversations with him. When I'm having a conversation with my brother, I don't feel like I need to think in advance to try to avoid myself from stuttering.
Right. This is a good question, and is that easier than when you have to think in advance and when you are kind of doing those tricks and stuff you were just talking about?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it is easier, and I also have definitely, I don't want to say I've been stuttering more, but I've definitely avoided switching and avoided getting myself out of situations over the last couple of years since I've started talking with Eric about it. Versus when I was younger, when I would pretty much, no one would really know I started. I mean, sometimes it would, like, almost with me, the thing that's, and it was so crazy, is that people would almost make comments to me about stuttering, and when they were making the comment, they thought I didn't stutter. So, like, they would be like, "Hey, you just stuttered right there." Like, that's right. That, like weird. Like, "Oh, hey, you nervous? Why are you stuttering?" Like, they'd almost say it like that. Like, "Oh, man, why are you stuttering right now? You never stutter."
Yeah. I had a similar experience when I was in college. I met a buddy of mine, John, and John stuttered a lot. When I met him, he was stuttering, it seemed like on at least half of his words, with incredible secondaries. And people were very shocked when they would hear him talk. And they would talk to me about John stuttering because we played in a band together. And I remember saying to a couple people, "Well, I stutter too." And I had never said that to anybody. And instead of, like, being like, "Yeah, okay," they'd be like, "Dude, why are you looking for attention?" You know, it was just kind of like, they thought they were talking about somebody and they had no idea, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, so...
Just to get back to what Brad was talking about before, I definitely recognized over the past couple of years that, like, you just kind of let the stuttering out a little bit more. And there was one particular time, it was probably like about a year and a half ago or so, and you picked me up from the train station, and you really let yourself get blocked on a word, and it was the first time I ever heard that, and I think I kind of smirked at the time, like, and not because I was making fun of you or anything.
Because you knew I would never let myself do that
before. Exactly, and it was kind of cool, and it's just really cool to hear you say now that, like, you've kind of, at least in some way, tried to avoid stuttering a little bit less.
Yeah, well, again, like, I've done that because I've talked to somebody about it. Like, and not, I'm saying, like, I need to, like, you know what I'm saying? I'm not saying I need to go and just, I've talked to you about it, so now I feel more comfortable with letting more out, especially with you.
Yeah, right.
You know, whereas when I was younger, like, in elementary school and stuff like that, was kind of brutal. Not brutal, just, like, when everyone has one thing to pick on, that was, like, my thing, just because they knew it, like, back then. Like, they almost knew it more. You know, so, like, that's when, like, I started to really learn. I almost taught myself. Like, when I was in elementary school, people would know it, that I'd stutter. Like, they, you know, again, I didn't really let it bother me that much. Just, it was still, like, still something that they'd say. They'd be like,
"This is something we're going to get into at some point."
I taught myself almost as I got older. I know I'm not, I don't know if this is what you're supposed to, but I almost taught myself when I got older how to kind of get around it.
Yeah.
And I'd say, like, when I got a little older, I stopped doing it a lot less.
Yeah. In at elementary school, I remember being teased about stuttering, and it was the type of thing where if someone did, I remember there was a kid who disagreed with me sometimes, and when he would disagree with me, and like maybe I was right and he was wrong about a topic in class, he would make fun of my stuttering. And to me, it just always seemed like a weakness. Like, I never imagined it being something I could stick up for. Because, like, how could you stick up for your stuttering, right? I mean, did you ever feel anything like that?
I feel like, almost like, I feel like it was always compared to, like, the biggest thing I remember is, like, let's say someone was short. You'd be like, you're, like, I feel like it was compared to something like yeah. that. Like, yeah. you're short, or well, you stutter. You're fat, you stutter. Yeah, like, it wasn't even, like, a... It wasn't even like, it was like a thing, like almost like a last of the line thing.
Yeah. Like you guys yeah. would be arguing, you guys yeah. would be arguing, and then it's like, and then it's like, bam! And they say that,
drop the hammer.
Like, oh,
drop the hammer.
Exactly. Okay, I lost this one.
Right. Exactly. You know, like, right. Well, yeah, yeah, like somebody couldn't call you, like in elementary school, a kid couldn't call you like a Jew or something, because you know yeah. you're allowed to stick up for yourself for that. But someone calls you a stutterer, and like, you know, what was the argument for that back then? I am, and that's okay. Like yeah. you know.
No, certainly not. No. I certainly didn't do that either. And it's interesting because I feel like it would have been so great for Brad if, like, I had at that point, you know, 15, 16 years old or whatever, you know, started my quote journey there and like started to accept stuttering at that point, because
yeah.
you probably saw an older brother that maybe stuttered a lot more than you, but was like really like struggling and trying as best as I could to hide it.
To be honest, yeah, and I always try and think about when I was younger, and with like once yeah. we started getting into stuff, I always try to think like, all right, when I was younger, what was that? And to be honest with you, I really remember two things, and one is college, and again, I remember you like being. I remember hearing stuff about college, like, you know, mom or dad saying some things, like, you know, but then like when you'd come home from college and not talking to you for a while. You know, like, it was, like, almost like, I don't know if it was routine or every day, but when I talked to you every day or something like that. But I remember one day being in, I came, when you went to speech, I came one day. I was young. I don't even know how I remember this.
With Linda Tepperman, like, in Comac?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was,
I always forget that you saw her. Okay.
We were young, right? Because mm-hmm. I remember, I like, it's like, yeah, you know, yeah, like, yeah. Like, it's not, you almost, like, you remember certain things from your childhood. Like, yeah. you remember this one thing for some reason. Yeah. For some reason, I remember that. And I remember you coming home, and I remember you speaking on the recorder and kind of doing exercises on the recorder.
His first podcast.
Yeah, right.
And I remember almost thinking like, not that I didn't understand, well, I really didn't understand, to be honest with you, and I was like, well, why is he doing that? Like, what's...
Yeah.
And that's when I started to wonder, but it really wasn't a big thing. I was never thinking almost like, oh, like, I never really understood.
Right. So at that point, you really didn't connect the dots that, like, wait a second, I'm kind of having a hard time speaking myself, and that's what Eric's going through right now. But
not at all.
Yeah, I was a shit brother.
No, I'm not.
Like, when I was younger, like, I never talked to him. I didn't talk to anybody, though, so, you know, don't...
No, I'm not, I won't take it. I was almost thinking the opposite thing. Like, why didn't I notice? And try, like,
But I've said to Eric before, I always knew I stuttered, but there was a level of fog about it. Like, even when I was in college, I said recently, I knew I stuttered, but I wouldn't allow myself to do a Google search on it, because, like, simply typing the word would be acknowledging, admitting it. So I think there's, like, levels of awareness, you know, like, so I can see you being young and not really connecting the dots, because, like, that could be painful to connect those dots.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I feel like we're going to get into this at some point, and we might now. But, I mean, the biggest thing for me is the fact that, like, you know, it's probably safe to say that I stutter more, you know, I hate saying this, but, like, I stutter more than you stutter, right? So what's interesting to me is how we both handled the stuttering just so much differently. Me, I was totally quiet. Like, I hated speaking. I did everything I could to kind of avoid when I was growing up. But you know, you never really let it, like, get you that far down. And I always think about it and I always try to figure out, you know, why that was. Was it the fact that you just stuttered less, or was it the fact that you just kind of have a personality where it's like, you know, I stutter, so I'll figure out a way to get through it, and that's it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, to be honest with you, we started, and you know, like me and you got a lot close. I mean, like, we were all, yeah. I mean, we're brothers. We love each other, you know, the whole life. Yeah. But you,
a lot of
but
you going know, on here.
of course. But no, but you know, like, as far as we've gotten a lot closer. Not, I'm not saying just because we didn't have the opportunity when we were younger, just because I feel like maybe because I got older, you know, and I got older, and then you got older, and you started to have more of an awareness. Like, you say, like, now you're so much more involved with this than you were when you were younger, right?
Of course.
You know, so, like...
Of course.
Yeah, so, like, that I feel like, I don't know if this is the case, but I feel like that might have opened you up, too, like, to a point where that, now, like, you're open with this, and then we kind of took it from there, and then we started talking about this, and then it grew from there, and then I got older also, so we were allowed to go out together and spend a lot more time together also, but... I feel like that was a big thing also.
Yeah, we know that as people stutter, we certainly like to go out and drink. I think we should take a break right now and then come back and get back into things.
All right, sounds good.
Hi, this is Phil Schneider, speech-language pathologist, and I've been very involved in the issue of stuttering for about 39 years now, and my life has recently been enriched by an incredible vehicle for learning and developing a vast perspective, all in the comfort of my home, or while driving in my car, or while taking a walk in the woods. All I have to do is connect to stuttertalk.com or Stuttering101, and I feel supported by a community of people who deal with this issue professionally, who struggle with this issue, who are challenged with this issue, who care about people who are, and it just broadens my perspective, and it gives me lots of food for thought in an enjoyable, relaxing, comfortable, and convenient way. And I want to be a part of making sure this open, candid, meaningful dialogue continues for years, and that people all over this country and all over the world get this and can hear it and can participate. So I feel privileged to be able to participate and become a shareholder in StutterTalk.com. And I've opened up the website, StutterTalk.com, and gone to that donate button so that I can be a partner in helping to make this happen.
Okay, we're back with Stutter Talk. Eric's in the bathroom, which is all right. So, Bradley, I got a question for you here. At some point, do you think that your parents should have or could have gotten you guys, like, talking openly? Like, do you think your family ever should have sat down and talked about stuttering as, like, a family?
Oh man, me and my brother talked about this a lot, and that's like I know, Eric's told me he talks about this on the show all the time, and it's crazy because that's like,
wait, he has to. I don't remember him talking about this topic though.
No, well, he tells me he brings in the whole family thing, but I mean,
but not the two of you talking.
Oh, okay. Well, me and my brother definitely had a lot of time to talk about this, and I mean, I don't know as far as that goes. I know that. I don't know what as far as they could have done. I mean, me and my brother pretty much went at this at ourselves just because me and him are the only ones in our family. Like, you look at my mom, my dad, my sister, grandparents, other side, aunts, cousins, and we're really like the only ones that actually do stutter. So are there times that now that I look back after talking to my brother that maybe something else could have been done? Of course. Would I have accepted it? Yeah. Me?
Yeah.
Probably not, if I'm going to be honest.
Right.
I don't know the way Eric feels about that, but I definitely feel that, I mean, me knowing now after all this and after everything that, you know, I've been through and talking to Eric, I definitely feel like something else could have been done. But again, my parents, I feel like, might not
and
have been.
And we love them to death.
Oh yeah, I'm not suggesting.
Oh, no,
I'm not trying to lay blame or anything.
No,
this is
no,
a joke.
No,
this is a joke.
Of course. Yeah, no, we yeah.
It's like we have to preface. Oh,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, no. Of course,
they're
the best.
Did you, when you were a kid, did you have speech therapy? Like, were you diagnosed as a stutterer?
No.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. Again, I don't know if it's because I wouldn't accept it, just like you were saying before, if I wouldn't accept it. I mean, my parents knew.
Right.
Eric, I mean, you knew, right, that I
know. Well,
no, you didn't?
Really interesting thing is that it wasn't until way later. Of course, you know, I would hear you stutter from time to time, but by no means was I educated about stuttering at that time, and I had no idea that, like, you know, he was kind of going through the same thing I was going through, and it's because no one ever talked about it. And it's just like a really quick point, though. I feel like a big part of it was, you know, not that you wouldn't accept the fact that you were a stutter at the time, but that mom and dad wouldn't. They had one already, you know, that was kind of enough, and I feel like that may have been a piece of it.
You know, I see that in the...
No, go.
No, then you see that sometimes where I have a child on my caseload who's learning disabled, and the parents have a second child, and I can see the child, and the parents don't want to admit or accept that their second child also is delayed.
Yeah, right.
So it's fascinating. Wow.
I know.
Bradley's turn.
No.
Go, man. It's
I
okay.
I want to say it helps, though.
Accept it all and get it first.
That Bradley probably stutters a little less, you know? I think that helped.
Whoa.
I clearly remember.
Oh, he stuttered overtly less.
He's nodding,
yes.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that everything.
I don't know. He's again, nodding.
No. Well, I'm in. I'm not trying to, you know, say anything about you, but if I had to see every time you were stuttering out loud, I would get blocked up less, not crazy. Not a lot less, not where, like, when I stutter outside, when you hear me stutter is the only time I block up.
Yeah.
I do. I mean, there's a lot of times when I would know that I'm going to block up on a word, but now it's almost like second nature. It's almost like I just do it. I'm just talking and I can do it fast. I can do it quick. Like, I can say something I want to. So it's a lot. I don't know if it's me just now. I'm so used to doing this. If you think about it, I've been doing this for 15? When I started talking, I've been doing this for. So it's a long time.
I want you to respond.
No.
But here's what I think is really important. We talk about this on the show a lot, covert and overt. What I really think you're saying, or this is what I'm saying, you're saying the same thing, is that even though we may not have been heard to stutter as much as Eric, we had all those moments of stuttering. We just did things to get around it.
Yeah.
Or, like, I could feel a block coming on, and the moment would pass when other people would start talking, but I wouldn't initiate the block. I would be waiting to speak, and I couldn't get it out, so no one would know I was stuttering. And that counts as a moment of stuttering.
Of course it does.
So then how can you say you stuttered more than him?
Of course it counts.
Right.
Brad, just for a little background, you know, me and Peter agree on most things. Some things we disagree on, and this is like a big topic that we always debate. The thing is, what you're saying, if we naturally stutter equally, is that the two of you are better than me at avoiding, hiding, stuff like that. And I just don't think that
true. It's a different pattern. Why does it have to be better at this or better at that? We have a different pattern of how we stutter and approach stuttering. But I have to be honest, I find it unintentionally offensive that mm-hmm. you always say you stutter more. You're hurrying to stutter more.
I don't say I stutter more.
You just did. You just did.
Okay. Yeah. So we can say I insinuate.
This is what we do, by the way.
We can say I insinuated that.
No, you said it. You're not insinuating. You said it.
Okay, I said
it. I don't get it.
No,
like, because you guys know so much more about this. Like, you guys can actually have an argument to provide.
He doesn't.
Oh, okay. So, I've
learned everything.
I'm going to back you here.
Funny, brother. I've been a speech therapist for 9 years, but I turned to Eric for everything.
He's a speech therapist for 9 years, by the way.
Yeah.
Here, this is what I'm saying.
No, it's your brother's turn. I
never got a chance to finish what I was saying. I was stuttering and you guys are trying to cut me off here.
I call filibuster.
Right, no. Yeah.
He's smart when he's drinking.
This is a complete filibuster.
Yeah.
The fact of the matter is that there's no way to measure every possible moment of stuttering a person has, right? But there is a good chance that a person who stutters overtly a lot more just naturally has more moments of stuttering.
But listen to what
you're
saying.
I'm not saying the covert stuff does not count as stuttering. Certainly, anticipating something counts. I mean, that happens to all of us, overt, severe stutterers.
Yeah. Wait, so is it? So, I'm just trying to listen again. Like, you guys know so much. Like, you guys have been.
This is a simple argument, though, actually.
No, but I just feel like you're saying that there's almost, I know you said that there's different patterns, there's different ways that people do it, and you were talking at the beginning, like, me and you are more of the same type of pattern, and Eric has a different pattern or alignment.
Well, how about this? When you started talking, I was you. I might have had actually more covert behaviors, I don't know, but the way you described your stuttering growing up, that was me.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah. So as far as that, when you're comparing like all of us, so you're saying there's only one level of, I don't even know if this is the right word to use, one level of severity or one case, like there's one case of...
Exactly,
even
that's what it sounds
patterns,
like you're saying.
Okay. You know what I mean? Like, there's like, alright, so there's different patterns, there's different ways people stutter, but there's only one, let's say, level of, there's one case of it, there's no...
I'm not even saying that, here's what I'm saying. You, if I understood you correctly, you basically said growing up you heard how much Eric stuttered. You felt, from what I understood, that you stuttered just as much, but in a different way.
As I was saying, I didn't really make the connection. I didn't really realize, I told you, and like the really until college and when he came back, like, and when I really started knowing that he was having a problem and wanted to do all this, wanted to do all that, that I noticed that he was stuttering that much.
Right.
I don't want to say that I stutter.
I'm so sorry to jump in, but no. But it's super interesting, and this kind of backs up my covertness and the fact that he never knew that I really stuttered that much until I started accepting stuttering and starting allowing myself to stutter.
We talked about that.
I'm not challenging your covertness. What I'm saying from my perspective, when I hear you stutter now, I stuttered every bit as much as a kid, if not more. The difference is my stuttering wasn't heard. I was avoiding it. I wasn't talking. So when I met you, and even now sometimes, you stutter quite a bit. I stuttered just as much. It just wasn't heard. That's what I'm trying to say.
I don't think I did.
Okay.
I feel like I can talk. I don't even want to say this word either. I feel like I can have a normal, I don't even want to say normal, but I can have a conversation. You know what I mean? Like,
that's okay.
I can have a conversation, okay, and say every single word perfectly. Nothing. And then I'll notice, like, all right, in a couple sentences, I'm going to say this word. And I'll say it, the whole entire thing perfectly. And then all of a sudden, I'll know what's going to happen. Then boom, I switch, I change it up. And then all of a sudden, it starts over again. But, like, I feel like the whole rest of that, there's nothing.
Here's what I want to say to you. And I know I can't say this is going to happen to you. That was me. And I found that the more, I reached a point where I couldn't do that anymore. Where I was just having to change more and more words. And once I started allowing myself to stutter so that I could work on it, I realized I was hiding so many more stutters than I ever knew.
Yeah, and again, as I was saying, like, over the last couple of years, I've talked to him a lot more, and I've started to let it out a lot more. I've done it a lot more, you know, more so in front of him, but a lot more also, like, in front of family and all sorts of stuff like that than I ever did. And I do realize it's a lot more. Again, I don't feel like it's over. I don't feel like it's that much where all of a sudden I'm getting myself caught up and need to start switching again.
Right.
But I definitely is more. Definitely more when I started to open up more.
And keep in mind, a lot of his stuttering is voluntary. Not at the moment.
Yeah.
But,
well, there's actually two things going on here, though, I think. Like, when you're saying it's more, right? You just meant stuttering so people could see it and hear it more, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Well you me allowing it, me
exactly
speaking more, not switching, avoiding it, not avoiding.
Right.
It
so people around you might be noticing a little more.
Yeah, mom.
Okay. Yeah. Who blames me?
Who I love with all of my heart.
But
so wait, does your mom still blame you?
No.
But
wait. Blame me for what?
That's a joke. You know, it's like.
But there's a little seriousness in it. Come on.
Wait.
There's a lot of seriousness.
It's an important point. But I wouldn't. Wait. I just want to say one more thing, though, and then we could go on. Do you think from, like, let's say the time you were 15 until now, right? You're 22 now. Do you think over that time you've had to, and not around me and not around the family and stuff, but just in general, do you think you've had to switch more and use more of those tricks you were talking about, or is it pretty much the same?
Again, it's all like, from when I started doing it, it's almost like that grew as I grew. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying, I don't know.
Yeah, that's profound. I understand.
I don't know if it was that I needed to start doing it more, or that just I was going, my vocabulary was going, I was learning more, and then it was happening more. I almost can't tell the line.
Yeah.
I can't define it, whether it was.
But dude, when we first met, Eric, I remember you telling me you weren't sure if your brother stuttered. I don't know if you remember that, but when we first met...
No way.
Yes.
No way.
Yes. You said, my brother kind of stutters, we're not really sure. I'm really serious. You told me. This was like in 2007. You weren't sure.
2007.
It might even be on one of the podcasts.
No.
Dude, I remember you telling me you weren't sure. You thought he stuttered, but you weren't sure.
I don't know if I believe that.
You just raised your hand. Dude, raising your hand isn't going to work.
It just worked. It just works.
Because you're not going to weigh in.
I just raised my hand and boom, I'm in. I'm in. I remember that was... Probably every single time you come home or we're in a family function, or seriously, about every time that we're now together, let's say he's home for the weekend, he's home for a holiday, we're at our aunt's house, wherever, we always have a conversation for at least a half hour probably about this, right?
Yeah.
Like, just talking, just
Wait, in front of people?
Yeah,
or
yeah,
just,
you know,
together?
No, just us two.
Okay.
Like, well,
we did with mom, though, recently.
Yeah, yeah.
And with Aunt Dahl and with Stacy, everybody was involved
so
in that.
So it's pretty much like we'll have, yeah, well, no, we'll also do that. Like, we'll have, like, a conversation together, and then also it might stem off, and other people might come in and just start listening more than taking part. Mom takes part.
Yeah, yeah, she's good these days. I mean, mom's getting a lot better. Dad's just like, whatever. He isn't giving a shit. As long as I'm happy, living Brad's happy. Play baseball.
No, but I remember when we first started having these talks. that came up a lot. Like, Brad, I didn't even
just like two or so years ago, probably.
Yeah, I'd say like so maybe 07, maybe a little bit. I don't know when you guys met, but I remember when we first started. He's like, I'm glad we're talking about this because I really didn't know. And
maybe you said, you're right.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry to prove.
I think it was on a podcast too. I think we go back. Yeah, because you were like, he's covert, but I think I hear it, but I think I see him doing things to change. I remember this conversation.
Which is before we actually spoke about it then.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Question is really for you first, but this might make sense to you too. I'm not sure about it. Okay, Eric, you overtly stutter obviously a lot more than Bradley, right?
Right. Yeah.
Do you possibly think because you stutter overtly more that your overt stuttering actually leads to more moments of stuttering? And here's my thinking, that the physical tension of stuttering leads to clusters, so that maybe if you avoided that, I'm not saying you should. Yeah. But maybe if you avoided that first stutter, you wouldn't have the second stutter because the second stutter is residual.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think it's a good point, and I think a lot of times I feel like if I could just get past this one part, right?
Yeah.
I could just get past saying my name, then I'll probably be okay.
Yeah.
The problem is that over the past couple of years, I've made a point never to avoid anymore. Yeah. So it's a good point.
Now I still hear you sometimes trying to, like, I don't know, what was that? The last time we were talking, there was like one, see, I don't even remember now because... But there was one word that sometimes, like, you'll start always having a conversation with.
So. So.
So.
So.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But
I'm trying to understand it more. No, but I remember.
Brad, you're exactly right. I'm glad that you did pick up on that. So for me, is definitely a thing.
Like the same thing as
that. I think helps me start. Definitely, and I think Peter's also said that. So is a thing for him too.
Yes and
but
no.
But definitely. Yeah, no.
You're talking about
I think you use but too, right?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. You use the word but too.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. Because the reason is I remember one time we were having a talk. I heard you doing that with. I remember now. I remember. You'd be like, yeah, or yes, and then you'd go. And I remember me being in a lesson because, again, I work at a baseball facility. So,
oh, yes.
So I train. So I work with kids of all ages. I'll go kids who can be 7 or 8 to kids who play college baseball. And so I'm pretty much instructing all day. So I'm teaching all day. And I remember that one time I actually caught myself doing the same thing. Like, I remember being black and all of a sudden be like, yeah. And, like, I stopped for a second and I was like, all right. And I kept on going, obviously, because I'm in the middle of a lesson. I can't sell that much. But I was like, I noticed I don't know if it was for the first time, but I noticed me actually having to be like, yes, oh, man, I definitely just did that to not to avoid myself from stuttering when normally I just kind of cruise through it.
It is my fault then.
No.
Well, do you think... Oh, boy.
Yeah.
This does happen.
There's a lot here right now.
No, I had a student of mine, a great girl. She had several sisters who stuttered. There were like three sisters who stuttered. So her older sisters would give her avoidance advice. Like she one day had to borrow a dictionary from a neighbor and she didn't want to knock on her door. So the older sister who stuttered took her downstairs and the older sister didn't want to stutter. So they went to the dollar store and they bought a dictionary for a dollar. And the older sister basically told her, well, if you're going to stutter, then just we'll just go buy it. And can you, I mean...
Yeah, you've never done anything like that?
No.
He actually got me to stop avoiding more. Yeah.
But, Mom...
I told
this story, I think, too, but Brad, you've got to tell the story.
I will.
Coming from you.
I will.
Yeah. Alright.
Alright. Alright. So now, like, this is my senior year of high school. This is when Eric's like, well, would you say my senior year of high school, so you're...
How old was I?
Yeah.
So, at 27.
So you're starting
to
get...
No. 28.
No.
29. No.
High school,
sorry.
My senior high school.
You were 26.
25.
Yeah.
It was
25.
So like, this is when you said you started getting more into... Did you say you started getting...
Go to AIS. Summer into of 2005.
All right, you were 25,
summer,
26.
All right, no, because I just want to know, because it was when it started getting, he started getting more serious about everything like that, and I'm applying to colleges, I'm getting recruited by baseball coaches, and I'm going on trips almost every weekend to see schools and everything like that, and I knew I couldn't say two words. Yeah. I couldn't say business, and I couldn't say baseball. And it was, I can say them now, fine. But I knew, for some reason, I knew, I couldn't say them. So I'm sitting there like, oh, I gotta go meet with this baseball coach, I'm trying to get recruited, I'm trying to get money, I'm trying to get a scholarship, I'm trying to play there. And I'm like, what do I do? And I really, and then this is actually probably the first time I said, I know I'm not gonna be able to say this word. Probably ever. Yeah. Ever, right? And you say in my life, I've never.
Well, wait, how old were you?
I was 17.
Oh, you were 17.
Yeah. I was.
That's it, okay, yeah.
I was 17. Okay, 17 or just, I just turned 17 because I was young for my year. Just turned 17 or still December 16. Because my senior year, I was 16 halfway through the year.
Okay.
So I go, yeah, because I know he's going to ask me what I want to major in. I want to major in business. And then I know I'm a baseball player, so I know baseball is going to come up at some point. So what had happened was my mom started saying, all right, well, you want to watch you say finance because your brother's in finance and, you know, that's good. I know.
I love mom.
But I didn't want to do finance. I wanted to be in like sales at that point. I don't know, but I didn't want to do finance. But I'm like, all right, I'm going to do finance because I can say finance. Yeah. So I was saying, but the thing is that after that, like I'd be like, all right, so I'd say, hey, so, you know, we have a lot of programs here. What would you like to study? I'd be like, oh, finance. Well, business, really.
Yeah.
So like I couldn't be like business because I'd be like finance. Yeah. I kind of like stop myself. I'd be like finance. And then I'd be like, oh, well, business, actually. And then when people asked me, the biggest thing was people would ask me what sport I played, or like kids that were like taking me on a tour, or kids that I stayed with, or kids at a party, and I'd be like, I'm a shortstop. That was my biggest thing. I couldn't say baseball.
Then,
So I'd be like, hey, wait, what sport you play? I'd be like, I'm a shortstop.
Isn't that stuff? I used to say I'm from the first state because I couldn't say Delaware. And people would be like, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm from the first state. They're like, well, what are you talking about?
First state.
You know, the first
thing. That's a little tough for like shortstop. It's like the first the first day of the union.
And then the thing that looked out was that I wound up taking international business. So international started it up for me.
Yeah,
I would never say I was a even though I was a business major. You think I'd ever say no, I'm just international business.
So what would you say at all, you know? Did you choose the major? Like, was this any piece of it at all?
No.
Because You could say international business instead of business.
No, because once I got past all that stuff and I knew what school I was going to, it was done. I felt like I felt all that stuff that like mom was telling me to do and all the switching and all that, like.
Was there more stuff besides that one time that mom told you?
No, the big thing.
I want to get mom in here, man.
Yeah, oh man, we should get mom in here.
Oh, that'd be sweet.
Love it. Yeah. She would. No, sorry, Brett. Go ahead. This is not my.
You can finish this.
Hey.
My mom too.
This is your show.
I mean. It was really, no, the biggest thing was the finance, and we always talk about that. The biggest thing was the finance instead of business, but I didn't want to do finance, but I had to say it anyway.
Yeah.
But baseball was a big thing, too. And I remember even talking with mom, with mom about it and being like, yeah, mom, I can't say baseball. And she kind of looked at me. Like, yeah. And I'd be like, yeah, I can't. I'm having trouble saying it. And then she's like, all right, well, just say you are a shortstop. So you know.
This is a question back to Peter then right now. Peter, as a certified speech therapist, is there something wrong with mom saying, if it's just in this one instance, say finance instead, it's not a big deal?
No. Obviously it's not a way that I would live my life forever.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like, I have a student now. She's 11. And she just got an award. And she didn't want to accept it because she'd have to give a little speech. So her parents were trying to decide what to do. And they asked me. And I'm like, well, she should want to feel good about this. So let her do what she wants. So why don't you talk to the people giving the award and ask if you can accept it for her. And that's what they did. Mm-hmm. Because, like, everything's okay. This is a tough thing.
Right.
So, like, you know, your mom did her best with what she knew at the time.
Yeah. So, in fact, it's before I actually started becoming stuttering guy or anything like that. It's before I went to AIS, you know. So she really... I mean, can you blame a parent?
No.
In the least? No. Absolutely
not. No. You do the best
exactly.
with what you can at the time. You know? So, no, you can't.
Exactly right.
No, you can't blame a parent. Parents get so much blame.
Yeah.
You know, it's awful. It's awful.
It doesn't take away from the fact that a lot of parents may not provide the best advice or the best guidance. However, at the same time, it's just not fair to, especially back in the day when people were growing up, you know, it isn't fair to blame parents because that information just wasn't available, wasn't out there at all, really.
And the moms don't know what it means, the significance of changing words and how it leads to more and more fear and more and more
stuff. Exactly.
So mom's just trying to be helpful and give you good, you know, gives you advice that she thinks would alleviate the pain, right?
Yeah.
No, yeah. Again, and I didn't think anything of it.
Yeah.
When she first did it, I didn't think anything of it. So I said, all right. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do finance, but if it works, it helps. It helped me get through it.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's the right way to get through it, but it helped me. It allowed me to get through it.
Yeah.
It's so great. The biggest, actually, I'm gonna like kind of change a little bit because I actually wrote a little note here about public speaking, like speeches and stuff like that. You said you had that little girl that just won an award, and I always heard it. In college, every single one of my teachers was like, you are a great public speaker.
Right.
You are one of the like best public speakers we had. You should do this, you should do that, you should do this. And all the whole time I'm thinking like, man, little does she know that I stutter. But I never did though. I feel like whenever I got up and I had an agenda like and I had a thing, no matter what words, even if it was business, even if it was baseball, even if it was this, when I got up and I was making a speech or like presenting a project, I never blocked at all. I never started at all. And I never got, I never understood why either.
Yeah.
I just would feel confident and like, I know I wouldn't. Like, you know, I always think I knew like a couple minutes in advance when I would.
Yeah. It's really interesting because I have students.
I knew I never would.
I have students who stutter a lot. I have one student in particular who stutters a lot, but when he picks up a book, he will not stutter. And it's sort of a point of
practice. A reading, you mean?
I will not stutter. He won't change a word.
Either.
He won't change a word. But
reading. Well, reading, I'll never. Reading, I never even thought of it like
I
that.
Used to, I feel like I'm just reading the words.
Yeah.
Oh, such a hard
really? School, it was bad for me. And now I rarely stutter reading.
Dude, I had my freshman year of high school, I had the teacher's textbook was given to me by mistake. So I had the English answers to all of my English questions from my freshman year of high school. So I have the teacher's edition. And I remember never raising my hand in class. Ever. Not a single time. But one of the guys on my side, on my right, knew I had the teacher's edition.
So I was banking on the answers.
Well, so he would bank on my answers, but I would never raise my hand. I don't think I spoke once in a whole class. You know?
And I always like, and I actually feel like because I knew I wouldn't stutter, I wanted to read more because then it's like, oh no, this kid speaks perfectly. Because every time someone would be like,
I'll read.
I never stutter. So I can read very well. I read very fit. Like I read very well, very clear.
Wait.
And they'd be like, great job. I'd be like, yeah. I'm eating fine.
Is the piece of that because it is kind of a challenge to talk, you know, when you just somehow know that, like, you're not going to stutter. You just want to go out there and do it.
Because
it feels good to be able to talk and not stutter.
Yeah, and, like, a lot of people, like, and, like, you think, well, again, with the speeches, the presentation was a great thing. Because I used to kill, like, all my public speaking classes, all of my, you know, international business classes for my major with presentations. I'd love it. And I always do great.
But, no, because it's, like, it could be, like,
act. Right.
Like, We don't know enough about the brain to say that this is weird. Yeah, I got it too. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well. Here. So, Peter wants to leave us off with. We don't know enough about the brain. No.
No, but we don't. Like what?
Exactly.
Like,
it's true. But.
And I'm gonna whine about it.
I do think it is fascinating though, and actually we've never spoken about this before, but that you rocked in your public speaking classes. So
it was awesome, and I loved it. Like I always thought, I even the night before when I was preparing it, I'd be like, oh man, there's business again, or there's this word again that I know I might be able to say, and I'd get up there and it wouldn't even come into play. I'd just be going.
But
and,
you were
and
always
then, like,
prepared, weren't you?
But yeah, but yeah. But the thing is I was prepared. But the biggest thing with me in speeches is I'd always like it wasn't like I was reading. Like you know, I said I'd read fine. It wasn't like I was reading. I know like the subject, and I just know it well. Like I did good in school. I know it well, and I'd just be able to go off and say whatever I wanted.
So
I didn't have it planned. I didn't even have it planned, but I'd be able to go off and talk about whatever I wanted.
Well, I got such a great topic to follow that up with.
Okay. Let's take a break.
Okay.
And then we'll come back.
Okay.
This is John Stossel, and you're listening to Stutter Talk.
Hi, this is Samantha Januso, and you're listening to Stutter Talk.
Hey, everybody. This is Dr. Joe Klein from the College of St. Rose, and you're listening to Stutter Talk.
Hey, this is John Melendez from The Tonight Show, and you're listening to Stutter Talk. Really good show, but, you know, it takes a long time to get to the point. Walk right back.
Welcome back to Stutter Talk. you're here with Eric Jackson and my buddy Peter Reitzis. And my brother, Bradley Jackson, my bro.
Who's got an H on you, right? He's got an H on you, doesn't he?
Thankful.
No, I think he does.
Maybe two.
Maybe.
Bradley and I have this thing. Even though Bradley's clearly bigger, is like an athlete, is in much better shape than I am, I can still take him.
Of course.
Right.
Well, that's what
Bradley will always
say,
hey, no. You're going to make me believe that.
No,
forever.
No, of course you will.
Yeah, if Bradley's asleep.
Older brother's
trying. If you have a gun, you'll be fine.
So. Stutter Talk at stuttertalk.com, 206-888-4619, and that horn outside is really annoying.
Well, it's hot in Brooklyn right now. It's like a really steamy day, so.
Yeah, what does that have to do with the horn?
I'm anyway, saying we have the windows open.
No, I shut the windows.
There's other windows open.
Okay. Put sound from that way.
I agree with Peter.
See that?
We were talking about before the break how Brad, and I never knew this, but Brad actually is a kick-ass public speaker, which is a good thing because if I ever get married, you know, my toast will be good. Anyway.
Well, I thought I was best man. he's going to have two guys up. Okay.
So,
if you ever get married.
Right. So, I
girlfriend just like thought that shaking.
I thought that
she just woke up from her nap in like a deep sweat.
I thought that was interesting because at this point, like pre-accepting stuttering, I was petrified of public speaking. I thought I was terrible. I hated it. Now I love to public speak. I taught a public speaking class. All this, but. The thing that helps me through public speaking now is the fact that, well, one, I'm prepared, and two, there is no back and forth, you know? And what I've heard a lot of people say is a thing that helps them with public speaking is they kind of step out of their shoes and they're somebody else. So what do you think it is about getting up in front of a group to talk that helps you be such a good public speaker?
I actually like the thing you just said about stepping out, not that I'm like stepping out of my shoes and I'm a different person when I present, but like I guess it has to be understanding of the topic. I'm not saying that like I over prepare and like make sure I know everything. I'm not saying I like study, but like
you're not a geek.
Yeah, you know what I mean? But like no, but like seriously, like maybe it's because I know that I can't block that. I know what I'm gonna present, like, and not even to the point where I know what I want to say, but I know about it so I can just go off and really present my own thing.
So like, do you find yourself switching and stuff in a presentation or no?
Never.
Wow.
Never.
So that's like...
Yeah, and even on Q&A too.
Never. Oh, so...
Yeah,
back and forth.
Yeah.
It's like, you know,
that's why I always thought it was so crazy. And even like, again with work, I'm going back and forth. And like the big thing about my place is we keep the parents involved.
Yeah.
So I talk to the parents. I talk to the kids. I really educate them on hitting and baseball.
Yeah.
And I talk back and forth all the time. And there's so many parents that tell me like, are you a teacher? Are you a teacher? You teach on the side? Are you? You're great with kids. Like you're great with that. I'm just thinking like. I guess, you know, like, and it's just, I don't know if it's whether certain topic, like baseball, I feel like I can talk about for,
right.
Even like before we even started this baseball, I feel like I could talk about for days and not, and just be almost in a zone where.
I come from my uncles and my father, they could talk about baseball and all day, just nonstop, man.
But I guess that's just it, like just comfort. Comfort. Like I feel like almost ever since that first presentation when I was really like, oh man, I could do this.
But
every other one was just that much easier.
But this is where I wanted to take it, alright? Language formulation, we've gotten onto this recently on the show. Do you think that being uber prepared as you were and are for your public presentations really helps with that. If you're so prepared, you know exactly where you want to go and what you want to say, it takes the pressure off of you. And here's what I mean. I think when, I really feel that some stuttering is related to language formulation.
Absolutely.
I was working on Friday with a student of mine, she's 11, and she was starting to stutter, but she was, I said to her, wait, stop for a second. Do you know what you're trying to say? She's like, I have no idea. And it's like, so she's stuttering almost on air. And I believe her. I don't think she's making it up. She didn't know what she was trying to tell me. Like, we were playing a game where you had to think of an answer. She didn't have the answer. She was trying to bullshit. She didn't know what she was going to say. And she was stuttering really hard. Do you think if you weren't prepared for your presentations, you would have stuttered openly?
It's almost... All right. This might not make sense.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, I work with your brother. I know that
makes sense. I'm warning you. Exactly. I'm warning you right now. This might not make sense. But I feel like when I know about a topic,
I can bullshit about the topic for hours.
But you know enough.
But yeah, but it's like I know about the topic. Yeah. All right. So I know about the topic. But I feel like I don't need to know anything I'm going to say. I can talk about that topic and go on different tangents. I don't know what I'm going to say. I have no idea what I'm going to say when I get up there. But I guess what you're saying, I have the knowledge. I know. But I can take that knowledge and just go.
If you had to give a presentation on the history of China during World War II, and you had just studied it a little bit, but you didn't know much, wouldn't you probably stutter a lot more than if you really knew the history? If you only knew a little bit and not a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
It goes deeper now.
How's that?
No. You finish your thought and then I'm going to tell Peter why he's wrong again.
Yeah. It's a regular segment.
No, I don't know about the whole... I feel like, again, there's been, trust me, I was a college kid. I partied a lot. I was an athlete. I partied a lot. There was times where I wasn't prepared for presentations.
Right.
Again, me just being able to get up and, again, kind of almost BS, just be able to talk about things, like go on. If I had, like, I could take, let's say, one line of that topic and take it and just relate it to something else and be able to just talk about it for as long as I wanted to.
Right.
That's the thing I thought that was not so
stutter,
crazy.
Is it what you're saying?
Yeah, and not stutter. That's what I thought, what was crazy.
Interesting.
I didn't know if it was because, and I really, this is something I really actually thought about. Like, why when I'm up, and even in the questions and answers afterwards, like, why when I'm in front of a crowd or I'm in front of a classroom, when I'm almost put on the spot, can I take a subject? Again, even if I know about the subject, but even if I don't, still be able to take like one line of knowledge and turn it into an entire presentation. I didn't get that.
You think it goes back to this thing I was saying before, though, about kind of, I mean, not completely, but kind of taking yourself out of your shoes and kind of being somebody else, because the stuttering Bradley is just like normal everyday Bradley, but the Bradley that goes up in front of a room and has to speak and has to do this is not completely somebody else, but is a little bit somebody
else.
It's
like acting. It's like being on a stage, right?
That's the best. Like, that's like almost like a, what's that called when you're acting and you just do improv? Yeah. Exactly.
Doing improv tomorrow.
Like, I think, I almost feel like it's like, I almost feel like it's like that. You know?
Yeah.
Like, just it's, almost...
The thing is that for a while I found the same thing. You know, speak about a subject that you know about and you're passionate about. You know, and for some reason it's easier to speak about.
Yeah.
However, there came a time when I still knew about the same topics, and I had to go up and speak. But I wasn't passionate. I didn't have like a fire or some kind of drive or motivation to speak, you know? Couple of my classes were
definitely
awful because I didn't want to be there, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, most of them were great. You know, I'm a great teacher.
Well, you come into my class and you're like, I don't know what I'm going to say today. Come on.
A couple of them were so bad, and it's because, you know, I didn't have that other thing. So I think it's something past just having a knowledge of something. I really, really do. Because I've thought about that before,
Peter. The more and more I think about it, yeah. The more and more I think about it, I almost, like, again, like, I tell people, like, there's knowledge. There's got to be a knowledge. There's got to be a knowledge there.
You're taking a picture right now.
I'm laughing now. Every picture I take is one of you leaning over to grab a beer, so it doesn't work.
You're in the kitchen.
No, but like, actually, and I feel like I relate to both, like what both of you were saying.
Yeah.
Because
no, Peter's wrong.
Yeah, no. Watch, because the whole thing about knowledge is that I feel like when I don't know about the subject, I'll take that one line and relate it to something that I know about.
Right.
So you know what I mean? Yeah. But then at the same time, I feel like I can still take something I don't know and go on for. So again, there's that fine line I don't know why it happens, but it's something that I can do. Because, but again, it's like that same thing. Like, I'll go back to something that I know. Like, it's almost like I don't know what the topic is, but I'll take whatever I have and then be able to turn it into a presentation with previous knowledge, or just me just going out there and saying what I can.
Because
but it doesn't happen no matter what it is. I just don't get blocked up.
Because for some reason you like to be in that situation, and that's what's so hard to figure out. Is it the fact that you like to be in that situation, or is it the fact that you like to be in that situation because for some reason you can speak easier?
Again, it's probably
I have a couple of thoughts on the matter. One.
No, but we're going to try and not let Peter talk.
No, I want to hear Peter.
I think, one, you are not cornered at all. So what you want to say can be very spontaneous. You don't have to say any word that you don't want to say. It's a lot of freedom. Like, my father quit smoking before I was even born. But to this day, he keeps a packet of cigarettes on his dresser because he, you know, having it there makes it easier for him to say no to it. To this day, he still does it. I think that when you're
speaking... That's a good idea. I wish I could do that.
You guys are like, hey, let's take a smoke break. But,
we do not smoke, by the way.
No.
But I don't tell Peter.
The point is, you have a lot of freedom by presenting because it's what you want to do. That's my big... I also think you're more prepared than you're really letting on. Because when you first started talking about this, you sounded like you really did prepare.
And then, I know. And like, and I even realized that I like sounded like that again. But then it's like, all right, I know so much. Let's say I do know so much of the content, but I still feel like when I'm up there, I'm going off on more than, like, I know, trust me, like, I'll cram. Like, let's say I'll cram for a presentation. I'll know a lot of it. Like, I know a lot of everything, but still, I still feel like, even when I know a lot of
this, the one time.
No, I don't want to lose it. I don't want to lose it. Okay.
Yeah, no.
I'll still feel like I'll go off, though. You know, like.
Do you know how we were saying there was that guy on the Yankees? What's the guy's name? Was called up to catch?
Cervelli.
Yeah, Cervelli. He's hitting the ball, but he could hit in the minor leagues, but he can hit in the majors. Do you think that a part of yourself says, well, you know, I'm a stutterer, I got nothing to lose up here? Do you think part of it is like you think to yourself, I'm expected to strike out, so I'm going to do good up here? Like, do you know what I mean?
And to be honest with you, probably that first time. Because I'm not saying like I walk in there and when I have a presentation, like I walk in there and my chest high, like, all right, let's get this done. Like, I'm still like, all right, like I'm gonna have to go up there and speak. am I gonna stutter? Like, am I gonna do this? Yeah. You know, it's not like I'm not like killing myself over it, but at the same time, I'm not walking like, all right, man, I'm about to give the best speech of my life. Yeah. Like, I still the same way, but maybe that first time was exactly like that. Like, all right, you want to know what? This is going to happen anyway.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to have my first, like, I had to give a lot more presentations. My freshman year of college was the big jump. Whereas, like, in high school, I did have to do it sometimes, but at that point, it was high school. I knew every single person in there. It was, whatever. But in freshman year, public speaking classes, for freshman public speaking classes, it was, like, the first time. I was like, all right, this first one I give it on poker.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I gave it on poker. That's I gave it on Texas Hold'em.
Could you imagine?
It was like the big thing that one time.
Yeah.
Of course
I took that class, the introductory public speaking class.
I would have loved you to be my teacher, Eric. But no, so it
that's
was
awesome.
So it was a speech on Texas Hold'em. I said, oh man, this is great. And it was like the first one I ever did. And again, I was nervous. I remember I was nervous as hell. It was like freshman year. I all knew people. I haven't gotten comfortable with anybody yet. So I did my thing. Like I handed everybody a hand. Like everyone got the five cards.
Yeah.
I mean the two cards. Everyone got the two cards.
Two whole cards.
Yeah, yeah. Two whole cards. I explained the flop, the turn, the river. I did everything. And it was just like once I said, hello, my name is Brad Jackson. Today I'm going to be presenting Texas Hold'em, blah, blah, blah. Give a little intro, like a little history where it started. Then when I got into like the actual cards, I started just giving off hands. Like, hey, listen, if you have a flush and you have a full house, if you have this, if you have that, and it wasn't stuff I had planned.
No.
But I just started going off.
But you're also passionate about
it.
I think in knowledge, certainly, like you need to be knowledgeable on a subject, but at the same time I feel like if a wanting to talk about something isn't there, it just makes it harder. But what that translates to in us is having a harder time speaking into maybe more stuttering or whatever.
I actually have used Texas Hold'em to explain stuttering to my graduate students. Because they really have a hard time understanding the variability of stuttering. You know, sometimes you just stutter. So I do the thing where you deal out aces, and you deal out aces versus like 2-7, the worst hand in poker. Well, you play that hand enough time, and the aces are going to lose. You know, and it's kind of like, well, sometimes you're just going to stutter. Doesn't matter how good you think you've worked or how good your starting hand is.
That's good.
Anyway, I dorked out for a minute there. All right. Talk. Eric's back in the bathroom. Bradley, you are a baseball player, and it looks like you're going to start playing some minor league ball pretty soon. How do you think of your stuttering with baseball? Do you think that stuttering is a topic that other ball players would understand, that you could bring up with them?
I don't really, baseball, again, we were talking about this a lot before, baseball is my thing. Like, yeah. My whole life, that's all I've been around, through college, through my job now. Every day, I work 7 days a week at a baseball facility, so I just train. Mm-hmm. I train. I just train kids. So I'm working with kids all day. I'm talking a lot. And during some of my lessons, I do get blocked up a little bit. I do all stuff like that. Nothing where I've... It doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me at all. Like, I'm comfortable with a lot of my clients now. But as far as talking to some of my players, if it came down to it, now I wouldn't have a problem trying to talk to them. Again, I just don't even feel like it coming up just because, you know what I mean? Because I'm so comfortable just like with the thing.
I got another way to go out of this. I've read a couple times the classic baseball book, Ball 4, by Jim Bouton, who was a player on the Yankees. And he always said, everyone's favorite baseball player is the one who never opens his mouth. So, like, when you're on a baseball team, you're just supposed to sit quietly, do what the coach says and all that. So my question is, do you think that stuttering could somehow annoy people? Like, we shouldn't have to deal with this. I'm not trying to lead you in that direction, but I know that in baseball, there are certain things. There's a lot of superstition in baseball.
Yeah.
There's tons.
I'm a shortstop. I was a shortstop my whole life.
Okay.
So if
the I'm game, a base shortstop.
Okay, easy.
Nice, man. Nice. Yeah. Welcome back, Eric. Yeah, welcome back. I'm a shortstop, and to be honest with you, that's like pretty much the leader of the field, one of the leaders of the field. So I was required to be vocal my entire life. So as you were saying, the thing that I take like the quiet route, I was never quiet. I was always loud. I always, you know, had responsibility. I was the captain of my school for 2 years in college. So I was always required to do a bit of leadership and a bit of talking. And like, again, pre-game speeches, like before big tournaments and stuff like that, I was always that guy that would do that and step up. Okay. And I never felt like this ever hindered that or brought that back at all.
But here's... Well, wait, I'm on something here, though. You are now talking openly about stuttering, and you're sort of changing how you deal with it. The more you do that, the more you're going to stutter openly. The more you're not going to avoid and stuff. So here's the question. If you are a ball player stuttering openly with other ball players, I know my grandfather was a ball player. There's so much superstition and craziness amongst ball players about what you can and can't do on the field. Do you think that if you were stuttering openly, other people would have a problem with it in baseball?
Until it happens, I mean, really, no.
But see, here's the thing: until it happens, sounds like you really haven't done it much.
Yeah. To be honest with you, like,
what times are you talking about though? When you're like calling out plays, when you're psyching the team up. I mean, what specific times are you talking about?
What I know about baseball from my grandfather who played it, and from, you know, the reading I've done and stuff, is that ball players are not supposed to talk too much. I mean, that's one of the things I've gathered. But like, you're supposed to be the quiet type. So can you be a classic? Can you stutter and play baseball? Can you stutter openly? Do you think that would be accepted? Or would that be like, oh, he's drawing attention to himself? Like showboating almost.
Again, this is going to go back. This is going to go back to like almost the beginning when we were talking about...
That's good. Full circle.
Right? Bring it back. Me talking openly. I still, even when... And I am stuttering a lot more now. Again, I hear you keep on saying you don't like when you were saying that, so I don't know if I should like when I'm saying that, stuttering more.
But to Peter's recognition, you've been stuttering the same amount and it's been all flat line. So
as far as open.
Yeah.
But still, even when I'm more open about it, even when I don't even block, even when I just let it go, I still feel like it doesn't really affect a lot of my conversations to the point where I'm stalling for a long amount of time. And will I, if I do get into that hard thick block, I won't let it happen. You know what I mean? I'll stutter openly. And like I actually talked about this with my boss too. I talked about this with my boss at work. You know, just because I told him I was coming on the show too. I told him I...
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I did. I told him because I was going to go out and watch a tournament with him this weekend. I'm like, hey, I'm going to go out with my brother. I talked to him about you before. I said you're getting your master's in speech pathology. And he actually had a lot to say about the word pathology, saying like, why would they make the word... Because he has trouble saying it.
Pathology?
Yeah.
Any person who stutters?
No. He's just the word in general.
I have a different problem with it. We used to say speech therapist, which I think is a much better word.
Better. Exactly. Yeah. It's so much better,
but
right?
He was saying it's a difficult word to say. A difficult word to say regardless.
He was just kind of not saying it. I got something for you, and you stay out of this.
Okay.
When you say you're not going to block, why are you not going to block?
When
you said when you're playing baseball and you feel a stutter coming on, you're not going to block. But why is that?
I still don't understand. You're saying when...
Okay. Well, we
I don't understand your question either.
I thought you were saying a second ago that you aren't going to block on the field. Am I not understanding you?
No, I just don't think that the amount that I would if I talked out if I you know, let it happen, let it happen overtly. Yeah, I don't think it would be something that would hinder me being able to get through to everybody, as far as them being like, oh no, well,
I'll be very straight with you. Do you think you're not blocking because you're still avoiding, is what I'm saying? Like when Eric talks like that, we call that blocking. Do you think you're not doing that because you're changing the word or doing something to prevent
do that? All right, like any bad habit,
I don't want to say bad, but changing
a word. The way I'm saying it is like any bad habit in anything in life, any bad habit, like if you smoked for whatever and then you try to stop smoking, it's hard to quit. I feel like I've been doing this for so long that, you know, I just will almost still do it naturally. Like it's natural.
You're saying avoid.
Yeah, avoid.
Naturally. But here's what I want to get at. If you were to block, if you were to give a pregame talk or pre-tournament talk and do that, can you be a baseball player and do that, is what I'm asking.
Yes.
Do you think it would change things, though?
Do I think that when, like, as you were saying, like, during, like, a pre-game speech or something like that, and you do something like that, do I think that the other players, you'd be like, well, what's going on here a little bit? Yeah, I definitely...
Yeah.
I definitely think that, but as the person that's saying it, you gotta know how to almost bounce back. Actually, another thing is, like, exactly what happened. There's a team that always trains at my place, and they're a travel team. They're a big travel team. I was training one of the kids that's on the team. The other kid was training with my boss, and I was talking to one of the kids, all right? And then I hear in the background the other kid, and he's going, wow. And I heard this, and it was freaking crazy. I remember being blocked, saying something, going right through it, and then continuing my conversation. I heard the kid in the background going, wow, Brad stutters a lot.
Wow.
And then this was, I think this was like about two months ago, I'd say. And then I heard him in the background, and I'm still talking. I'm still having a conversation with the kid, and I'm hearing him in the background being like, "Wow, like Brad stutters a lot."
But he actually said
this is like a 13-year-old kid.
He said that.
He said stutters a lot.
Okay, he did.
He said, that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know you were saying it out loud. He said it out loud.
He was saying it.
Somebody else.
He was saying it to like a group of like three of the players.
Yeah,
like
three of the players that you were saying in your mind, you heard him saying
it. Oh, no. He was saying it loud, and I was having a conversation. I was only like 10 feet away, but I kind of like veered off and heard him saying it. Yeah. And I was like, wow. Like, he just noticed me doing that. But again, I didn't avoid.
Yeah.
I let it happen. But did that bother me? I just went... I heard it, and
did
I said,
it bother you?
No. I heard it. I said, wow, you noticed that? And I went right back into my conversation. So, like, the same thing as you're saying with, like,
you said
speech,
something to him?
I was talking. Did I say something to the kid that said something?
Yeah.
No. I just observed it, went, all right, and then went right back into the conversation I was having with the other kid that I was training. So it wasn't, like, just like a pregame speech. Like, I let it phase me. I was just like, nope. And I went right back into everything I was talking about.
And this is what we talk about on the show a lot. You know, when I bring you up and I bring up the fact that my brother stutters, it's like something like that I feel like would have crushed me and would have had me thinking about it for a long, long time. And probably would have caused me to get more anxious, get more self-conscious, have a harder time to speak, whatever, you know, would have caused me to stutter more. So, the question, and I'm actually glad we came back like this, because it's like, your personality is such that, you know, it's just like, a person will notice you block, and yes, it might not be as hard as I block, but still a person will notice you block, you know, and you'll kind of be like, all right, you know, this person, fine, you know, I'll get by it. Me, I fester, and something like that really, really bothers me, and I'm like wondering what the link is between me sitting...
Just to catch everybody up, you're actually sitting, you're bringing up the point that your brother, that Bradley, you let things roll off you more.
Right.
Definitely. That, but do you think that's
which
true?
Is what I've said. Definitely, yeah, 100%.
100%. He's my mom and I'm my dad.
That's one of the funniest, lamest things you've ever said.
You want to I agree 100%.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to, you know, demote me. Like, I'm like my mom, but me and my mom have very personalities. I like nothing. Like, as far as arguments go, we don't let things bother us a lot more. I'm not saying, like, you're like a freaking hothead. I'm not saying that at all.
No, he's a little bit of a hothead.
No. But I have a very certain thing. Like, trust me, I get angry. He's seen me angry before. But I let there a lot go. Less yeah. things bother me.
Yeah.
Bother me. Mm. Where as far as someone...
But I guess me, my dad, my sister, yeah. and my dad... Get like crazy.
Yeah, over things.
I will tell you something. I am 37 right. years old, right? Yesterday on Friday, I'm walking up the stairs of my school.
Your birthday is?
No.
Oh, I thought you said
I'm walking up the stairs and I trip on one of the stairs. I'm like four flights off of my school. I'm running up and down the stairs all day. I trip on one of the stairs and like a third grader laughs at me who was on the staircase. And I look at this kid, I'm like, you think it's funny? When somebody trips on the stairs, you think that's a joke? It's something you want to laugh at? Maybe I'll trip again, you can laugh again? And the kid's like, oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Wright says. I'm like, well, it's rude of you to laugh at somebody. I don't like that. I don't know why you would do that to me.
But here's the thing. My point is, like I don't let things roll off of me. Like
exactly.
Like, yeah.
Exactly.
And I wasn't rude to the kid, but I said to him, like, do you realize that hurts my feelings? That you're not being nice right now? And I'm like, so while you might think it's funny, it's not funny. And if you tripped, I would hope I wouldn't laugh at you. And this is a conversation I had with this
person. Yeah.
Yeah.
What have you done?
And you would have just been like, oh, yeah. Like, oh, you see that? Did you see that? I'll see you later, kid.
No. But like, I gave him he was like, oh, I'm sorry.
You were like, no. Listen.
I was like, hey, man. That was funny,
right? It is
right?
funny. I'm an idiot, right?
Well, I might have done that. Okay, I might have done that.
Tell all your friends.
Mm. I might have done that on another Friday. I could have laughed it off, but I was like not in the mood.
Yes. No.
Yeah,
no.
I was like not in the mood.
We're very similar though in that regard. I mean, we let things kind of like.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
but I mean, that's why this whole thing came up, you know, and why we do talk about it on the show sometimes is because we specifically talk about the personality difference between me and you. You know, you kind of like. Yes, of course you process things, you know, but you don't, like, hold on to things as much as me. And we're just exploring the link between holding on to things and being impeded by stuttering.
Well, I mean, as the favorite son, I mean, Brad, things roll off.
Yeah, why not?
I mean, the amount of love that I receive from my parents as far as Eric receives, it does make it a lot easier for me to handle.
That's great. Dating and stuttering. Does stuttering get in the way of dating?
Is it an advantage?
No. Should I bring up incriminating evidence? I don't know.
No, it's very appropriate. No, that's very appropriate. I've never had girls. I've never heard girls say anything about me stuttering. I've never heard them talk about it. It's never affected me and girls. Yeah. Maybe I'm more conscious about it when I'm in front of girls. I don't know about the whole difference between, you know, talking to some of my friends and talking, you know, to my brother, you know, as far as being comfortable with it as I am with girls. Yeah. But to be honest with you, really, a lot of things don't affect me as much. I feel like if I block in front of a girl, I'll just keep on going. You know, I'll try to crack a joke in there at some point and make her laugh, you know, so it's not like I totally, I'll block and be like, and like freeze and be like, oh no.
Do you envision yourself being on a date at some point and mentioning to the girl that you stutter?
Yeah, I could do that. Yeah.
Did you ever do that with that girl you used to date, actually, for like a long time?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm.
When I was 18.
But it was more, actually, I'm sorry.
No,
actually, that was in high school.
Yeah.
And that was like when you first, and that was again the start. Like when you first started getting more involved, and I started being like, and there were just times where I'd be like, I'd block and be like, oh man, I just stuttered there. Yeah. And she'd be like, oh yeah, I do sometimes, yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I do sometimes.
With all seriousness, do you think that helped the relationship?
Just being open,
To be honest with you, I think it had no bearing at all. I don't think it made it worse or better. I feel like it was just like a normal thing, like me talking to someone that I was in a relationship with.
I will tell you this, for many people listening, and for me in high school, it would not be normal to mention that I just blocked.
This was also after I'd been with the girl for a while.
You didn't do it though.
Yeah, but still,
a new relationship.
Dude, I dated a girl.
A new relationship. I mean,
I dated a girl for 5 years and didn't talk about stuttering.
Oh. No, really, to be honest with you, I feel like I could go out with a girl for the first time and even be very interested in her and say something about stuttering the first day and not let it bother me, because you all know what, if she's like brushes back, I'm not saying she's gonna be a complete be like, oh, that's terrible, goodbye, but if I feel any side of her like coming, bringing back and be like, oh, it's weird, then why the hell would I want to be with her in the first place? But really, I have no problem.
We've talked about this so many times.
I have no problem at all with mentioning it.
What do we call that? The social filter, right?
Yeah. But don't you think too, like, the fact that you were able to make light of stuttering in that situation, you know, made her find you more attractive, you know? If, say, you were blocking, like, and didn't say anything about it, like, and looked kind of, like, weirded out by it, like, wouldn't that turn a person off? The fact that there's something going on that nobody's talking about that's, like, weird for one person. And obviously, it's weird for the other person, but it's weird for that person because they're, like...
Yeah, I definitely feel like there are those situations where I won't say anything and like I kind of block and I kind of stutter and then she kind of, then we stop talking for a second. But at that point, it's not like, every single time I have a conversation I stutter, I'm gonna be like, hey, I just stuttered right there.
Yeah.
But I just keep on going. Like, but it's, you know what I mean? I just keep on going, but I definitely feel like there were certain times where I was better off being like, oh, sorry, I just stuttered right there, then being like, and then starting, like, being silent.
Just being silent.
Like, just being silent and letting it almost, like, drift off and then starting again.
Like a bad strong
start. Have I done that before? Yes.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to ask a question of all of us, because I don't think it's fair to just ask Bradley. So, the question is, where would you like to be with your stuttering that you're not at now? And that's sort of like another way to ask about the goals. Where would you like to be? I'm going to go first to, you know, because we're going to be open and honest, right? As a professional who stutters, I can, at this point, I'm very much in control of my stuttering most of the time. I would like to not be sometimes. I would like for people who know me well to hear me lose control. I don't know why I think that's important.
But it is.
I'm sorry, but... Well, it's not important unless I make it important. And, like, all of a sudden it's dawning on me, I should be comfortable stuttering. I should be comfortable with the loss of control around more people. So that's where I would like to be. Eric.
Well, I would kind of like to echo that. If I'm going to be a certified speech pathologist soon, and if you are trying to provide a model for being okay with stuttering, then you have to be okay with stuttering at times yourself. And I think that that's really important for people to see, because a child could sit in therapy and hear you speak completely controlled and never really see what it means to be okay with an out of control moment.
Yep. Okay.
I just like to add too that I think I would like to, and I say this a lot and I never do, it's like the guy that's trying to lose weight, but try to put a little bit more... What? I should do that all the time. I should try to put a little more focus on speech tools, because really the only speech tool I use is stuttering openly. That's it.
I want to summarize that. You're saying not only do you want to stutter more openly, basically to show a point that you can, but you also want to stutter with more control at times too.
Right.
Okay.
So I want to speak more deliberately.
Deliberately.
So like...
I think that's fuzzy. I don't think that's helping the matter.
It means if I have to stutter, stutter with confidence. It means if I'm using speech tools, use speech tools with confidence.
But here's why I brought it up, because I don't have to stutter most of the time. But what happens is when you don't... Like at this point in my life, I don't have to stutter most of the time. But what happens is you... It's sort of a bad feeling sometimes, because then it's kind of like, well, why can't I let these people hear it? Like, just because I can control it, it starts to feel like I always have to. And I don't want it to be like that.
Okay. So. Well, that's your goal.
Okay.
I've stated my goals, Bradley.
The first thing I would say is to continue to learn more about it. The biggest thing that I talked about, you know, today was I really haven't, you know, besides from you talking with you, I haven't really touched the subject all that much. You know, I've never gotten treatment for it, and do I think I need treatment for it? To be honest with you, I have no idea. I want to continue to block a lot less, because I don't want to have that feeling of three sentences down the road planning.
Wait, do you want to block a lot less or worry about anticipating a lot less?
Worry about anticipating a lot less.
Right, so they're different things, right?
Yeah.
Like, you don't know if you're going to block, it happens.
But, yeah, I guess you consider different things, but the way I see it is, like, I really want to, you know, like, instead of me being like, all right, in about a minute, I'm going to say baseball. And I don't want to have to switch it up and say whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so come what I'm saying. And I've been doing that a lot more.
That's the thing with covert stuttering. My experience with covert stuttering is that it only grows. It doesn't lessen. So the older I got, the more I anticipated, the more I looked for those words to change them.
Which is probably...
Yeah.
Which is me too.
Yeah.
Which is me that's too. Exactly, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And definitely. Your age. I was 22. I was just about almost 22 when I decided, like, I can't do that stuff anymore. It was just too much for me.
It was probably like the same thing. I feel like as I got older, I got better at avoiding.
I got better and worse. I got better because I had no choice. But then all of a sudden, it wasn't 10 pounds anymore. I couldn't do it anymore.
Yeah.
It was like, one, I can't hide it anymore because every word I want to change to, I'm going to stutter on. Like, my fears just kept, like a family tree, my fears of stuttering just kept growing to more sounds and more words and more anticipation.
That's exactly what I felt like, and that's why... At some point, I needed to, like, stop everything and sort of face my stuttering head on, you know? And to be honest with you, I feel like you figured out your way to deal with things, and that's, like, okay for you. You know, like, I can't see you being like me in the sense that, like, I kind of needed to drop everything and be like, okay, like, I need to... take care of this right now because I'm miserable and it's killing me and that's it.
I don't feel like that. Right. Yeah, see, I don't feel it.
But here's the thing. you don't feel like that now.
Now. Yeah, like,
as your life changes. Like, I've said to Eric, what happens if, like, I want you to be a successful ball player and all that, but let's say you go the coaching route, and let's say all of a sudden you have to make 100 phone calls a day to different teams about different prospects. That could hugely change your stuttering and how you approach stuttering. Like you know, as your life changes, how you approach stuttering is going to have to change too, I think.
Do you think so, though? I mean, I, because I kind of don't feel like that for him, you know, but I can't speak
to
you.
Well, the phone was just one example.
I don't think it, again, I don't know as far as the future, what if everything will start to pile up more, if every, you know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, that's exactly what I'm getting at.
I don't know. Yeah. Right now, do I feel like I could coach and do everything? Yeah, easy. Okay. Like, again, like, I can easily, and again, I'm doing it a lot less. To be honest with you, right now, I hardly ever switch compared to the amount of times I did it in high school. Yeah. Freshman and sophomore year of college, I did it so much. Towards my junior and senior year, I definitely started to cut it off more, 100%. As I got more comfortable in my setting and being knowing everybody, a lot less. Now, after being out of school for almost 2 years, so much less. And I feel like as far as that goes, I'd be able to do that in a second, no problem. I have no idea what the future...
What is it about high school and college that's so miserable for
stutterers? It's a social jungle, and I don't...
And the end of college was easy, but yeah, that high school and like beginning of college thing, it was definitely a bigger...
Freaking worse,
a
man.
Bigger...
I have to give...
Bigger than the bear.
Steve Kaufman.
Right? I have to give Steve Kaufman credit for likening high school to a social jungle.
Did you see him on This Is... And by the way, I want to say in the show, Steve Kaufman doesn't have the best taste in music. We told him to his face. We love the guy. But he, on Facebook now, he's like... And joined all these like Liz Phair fan clubs. And I'm like, wow, no. Either like I'm really uncool or he's becoming cool. I don't know.
I think he is becoming... cool with regards to music.
No, but he was saying on a podcast recently that he loves Tiffany and like real bubblegum, like just nonsense.
Yeah.
Like nonsense music, you know? Anyway, back to stuttering. Yeah.
Let's wrap it up and go get some burgers.
Burgers sound good.
Yeah, burgers.
Or Thai food. Okay. You a burgers guy?
We'll think about it.
I'll get whatever. Again, I'm not a hard person to work with.
I'm not either.
Yeah. See,
it's Brooklyn. There's lots of
stuff. Just rolls off Bradley's back. I was just saying that.
Are you mad at me for that?
Why? Here's the thing. Burgers is they're going to taste really good going down, but like 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm not sure.
No. Okay.
Sorry.
Everything will be all right.
I just think it was great. This is a throw for me that Brad decided to do the show today. I want to thank you.
It was awesome, man. Thank you for having
me. I want to thank you.
It was actually awesome to come on here, man. I just felt like I was having a good conversation about this for probably the first time.
Yeah.
And thank you for having me.
Oh, it's great.
It was awesome.
I actually feel honored to be like, you know, at this beginning talking about stuttering phase. And if I'm getting the vibe that it's going to be the first of many, not just for us, but, you know, I can see you coming to Arizona and doing one of these. I can see it. No, what do you mean?
No, I didn't say no. I said, uh-oh. I said, uh-oh, this could be a...
Yeah. You know what? I'm so sorry, but I got to ask you a question. Because I want to record this because I want to see how it changes. No, this is important. Right, and you keep your mouth shut, okay? Because I don't want you answering. Right now, Bradley, do you see your stuttering at all as a gift?
No. Do I, as a gift?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Here.
I said you not to say anything.
Don't say anything.
Yeah.
Don't say anything. when I was, if you would ask me that when I was younger and through high school and through my first years of college, I would have said like no instantly. Now the first thing I said was no, but then I'm like, wait.
Yeah.
And I'm not gonna, I'm gonna say that I don't know if it's a gift yet because I just started to explore what it's about.
Right.
That's all I can give because really I don't know the right way to answer it.
Well, there's, yeah, at all. And I want to ask you, the next time we have you on, I know there's going to be next time, I'm going to ask you again. And Eric's going to keep his mouth shut again.
and Eric's not going to talk to you about this all fair either. This
no, is, oh, we're going to talk
just,
about
oh, yeah.
It. When me and him are together, it's on
all right.
Level. Like, I just do want to say, like, Bradley's stuttering is a gift for me in the sense that it was great to be able to talk about something like this on such a level.
Actually, I do see it as a gift in one way. And you're going to have to cut this out too.
Uh-oh.
I see this as a gift in one way that it made me freaking so much closer with him.
We don't have to cut that out.
That's it awesome. Did. It made me... It did, dude. Like, I mean, we were... Again, we're brothers. We love each other. But seriously, like, as far as us...
Age gap, you know?
Yeah, it was a big age gap, so it's tough. It's tough when I'm 9 years old and you're already... You know what I'm saying? You're already
six. Struggling, right?
Yeah. Like, you're already six. But I know, like, that's easy. Seriously, that's really... The one way I see it, and I definitely 100%, the one way I see it in the gift, and I really do, 100%, is because it made me so much closer with him.
And that's why we asked so the question, much. Because like by asking the question, we really want to challenge people, not just you, but the 400 to 500 people a day who download the show. We want them to think about, well, there's got to be some good in all this pain.
Yeah. That's like, and it took me a while. And as I started thinking, and then you weren't having him talking. As he started talking, I didn't really even listen to what he said, but I heard him talking. About,
I did the same thing.
No. Just because as he started talking, I'm like, wait a second. I'm here right now doing this show.
Yeah.
And doing this with him, and to be honest with you, this made me so much closer with him.
I'm gonna tell you guys something. I was driving, like, my dad's like a real dad, right? He talks to me about baseball, and that's it, right? You know what?
Yeah. He tells you to
to
lean in.
Tells you to lean into the pitch. So like my dad, like I told him, you know, look, I've got to deal with this stuttering thing. It's really bad. I don't know what to do, but I think I found the therapist. Dad's like, all right, whatever you need to do. That's all he knows.
Yeah.
And when, like, 2 years later, we're, like, driving, and I'm, like, really into talking about stuttering, and then I'm trying to talk to my dad about stuttering. You know, like, your dad. You know, like not really comfortable talking to a human about feelings, right? And then, like, one, he picks me up from the train station one day, and it's like, that's where your mother sent your father to pick you up, right? So I'm driving with my dad, and it's like, well, we talked about poker, we talked about baseball, and he's like, you know, I think I get it now. I'm really, really scared of flying. And he never, ever said anything like that. My dad never had fear. My dad won't fly, but he won't talk about it. And he's like, and I really try to avoid it all the time. But I don't go flying, so like, how would you know? You know, because I don't do it. He's like, so I think I get stuttering. Because it's just something you're so scared about that you don't want to do it. And it's like, because of stuttering, I was able to have that conversation.
Yeah, with right.
My father.
Yeah.
We would have never had that. And we've never had it since, but we had it right. Once. That, but we had it once.
Yeah.
We would never have that conversation, ever.
I mean, it made me way more close to my mom.
It's
real, and like, my mom will tell me about things like that. I like everyone in the family knows my father's scared of flying, and he's scared of driving over bridges, and he won't do either one, but he won't talk about it either. But because of stuttering, he would talk about it with me, and it's only because of stuttering that I had that in. Yeah. It's so like, crazy.
Break some walls down. Yeah. As far as like if a person like really truly knows that you know, you're not threatening in any way by exposing something like that, you know, something that's painful, something that you struggle with. I feel like it oftentimes allows people to more easily let their guard down. I really, really 100% believe that.
Another way to say that, I tried to jump in there because I'm agreeing with you. It makes imperfection okay. You know, and when you show other people that you have something about yourself that's not perfect and that it's okay to talk about it and it's okay to feel good or bad about it, I think it makes other people okay with their, quote, imperfections. And that's a good thing because we all have them, you know. And I think that it's a gift. I don't know if I ever talked about it like this. It's a gift because everyone's got them. But because of the stuttering, we're sort of forced to talk about them. And I know other people are forced to talk about their stuff too. Mm. But I think that's why it's... Like, we're going to have someone on the show in the coming months to talk about stuttering and addiction. And at this point in the game, I only see that as a greater gift. You know, this person has more stuff that has helped them grow, even though it was tough at a certain point. You know, to me, it's like all a gift. Like, imagine all the contacts and all the friendships you can have if you have a stutter and an addiction to some type of substance. You know, like, to me, it's all good as long as you can fight your way through the tough times. All right, I have to
pass. Yeah, as long as you can get past that point, definitely.
Long show. Hope you tuned in for the whole thing. Give us your thoughts. You know, write in stuttertalk@stuttertalk.com or call us, leave a voicemail 206-888-4619 and let us know what you think. And let us know why Peter's always wrong about things. I have one more thing, and it's just because we always talk about it on the show.
I want to ask my people, how about you save yours? I got one question to ask.
Okay.
Like, I know where you're going to go.
What?
You're going to go to date to my girls.
Oh, no. No, no.
That's stated, by the way.
I didn't mean that. It was an avoidance. I was saying, yeah, the avoidance and our filler started there.